Why do you love your mother? Why do you love your father? Is it because they dispensed such wonderful wisdom and knowledge and taught you algebra or something like that? You remember them in your heart because of the spirit in which you lived in their life. What is the most effective tool that a teacher has? It's that spirit. And our writings tell us on how we should prepare that spirit. Now, true, knowledge is important. That's what we just read. But knowledge is secondary in importance. And our own writings say this in a gazillion different ways. One thing and only one thing will unfailingly alone secure the undoubted triumph of this sacred cause. The spirit in which we teach. Okay? David, please.
Teach for the sake of the love of the faith, love of my beauty, from Gleanings, page 232, and not for reward.
So, dear friends, if we teach for anything other than the love of the faith, somehow our ego gets involved. Unfortunately, this is the way it is. If you feel like you're a great teacher, unfortunately your effectiveness, we're going to read here in just a moment. If you come to think of yourself as a great teacher, your effectiveness leaves. Okay? And if you see it as a competition deal where, oh my, I lost that one, then your willingness to teach the next time, your willingness to mention the faith is somehow dampened. This is ego. I'm going to tell you that the greatest myths, and I'm perfectly willing to be challenged on this, but I'm going to tell you that the greatest barriers to teaching this faith are in the minds of the Baha'is. They are myths that we operate on in our Baha'i community. And it's not in our writings. But I tell you, if you involve your ego in the teaching work, you shoot yourself in the foot. You will inoculate people against the Baha'i faith if you teach. If you teach for the love of the faith, the spirit is there, the guidance comes, the supreme concourse is at the ready. But if you see this as a competition deal, you will inoculate people against the faith. Go ahead, Tim.
Teach to remove barriers between a soul and its Lord, for Baha'u'llah is their Lord returned.
The highest station in the Baha'i faith is service. The highest service one can render, we've read all of those quotes, is giving a soul the knowledge and love of its Lord. What greater gift could there be? Okay, so what we teach like, how we should teach is to say, okay, what's the soul's barrier? Maybe it's the resurrection. Well, teach regarding the resurrection, but maybe not start with progressive revelation and the equality of men and women. That may not be the best place to start with that soul. Where's the soul's barriers? And teach there. Go ahead, David.
Teach as an opportunity to share your love and your belief of Christ.
If we see Christ and Baha'u'llah as one, Christ is Baha'u'llah, Baha'u'llah is Christ, and we see teaching as sharing our love of Christ and Baha'u'llah, then the spirit is there, the conversation can be held. But we see this as a competition deal. Pretty much oftentimes because the Christian will frame the questions this way. Christ is better than Baha'u'llah. I know this. Says so. It's better. And we react to that. And we say, no, it's not. Well, what kind of, is that in our writings? The place we should be going is, yes, Christ is everything you say he is. And Baha'u'llah is the return of Christ. And is everything you say he is. Okay.
Always leave as a friend and fellow believer in Christ and the Bible.
Okay, that keeps the dialogue open. If you leave it on the basis that the Christian views you as not Christian, you're not worth their time. I follow God. I follow the Word of God. You, as a Baha'i, don't know your Lord and obviously don't know the Bible. You're not important. You can talk all you want about the 12 principles and so forth. That's not going to worry me. It's not relevant to me. But if you talk as a fellow believer in Christ, you are a Christian. Now we can have a dialogue. and the conversation can go on. It's an open-ended discussion. Okay?
Nothing spiritual is ever communicated in an argument, and it always takes two to argue. Do not argue with anyone, and be wary of disputation. If he is obdurate, you should leave him to himself and place your trust in God. Such is the quality of those who are firm in the covenant.
Such is the quality of those who are firm in the covenant. We're talking covenant here. When is it right to engage in disputation if you are firm in the covenant? Never. Absolutely never. If you just refuse to argue. You know, one of the techniques of raising kids, also dealing with husbands and wives, one of the techniques in dealing with somebody who's being upset with you is speak more softly. Don't be angry back. It's a good thing somebody's upset when they're investigating the faith. They're at stage two. They've engaged the Word of God. It is never right to dispute. It is never right to have that kind of spirit, that kind of anger or hostility. It just isn't right. Okay. Let's see. David, can I call upon you to do a little bit of a role play here? So David is going to be the Christian, and I'm going to be the Baha'i. And we've just sat down on a park bench. And this is one model of that you may recognize of how the faith gets taught.
Well, how do the Baha'is regard Jesus Christ?
Oh, he was a manifestation like Moses and Muhammad and Baha'u'llah.
Do you accept the Bible as the Word of God?
Well, we know that it's been inspired, but it's been corrupted and edited with additions and deletions. But we believe it's a holy book for a past age. Baha'is follow the Baha'i writings, which are for this day.
How do you know you're not following a false prophet from the devil?
Oh, Baha'is don't believe in the devil. We believe that evil is just the absence of good.
Well, the Bible warns us against false prophets and the Antichrist coming in sheep's clothing, and the Bible also says Jesus Christ is the only way and the only begotten Son of God.
We Baha'is believe that Baha'u'llah has the same station as Jesus and is the latest messenger of God. He has come to bring the unity of all the religions and a new world order. His teachings are just too sensible for him to be a false prophet.
You know, the Bible warns that many will come in the last days and even try to deceive the very elect. Jesus was resurrected Lord and Savior and was God in the flesh. Just where is Baha'u'llah buried?
Oh, Baha'is don't believe that Jesus was God. We believe that the Bible has just been misinterpreted. There's really no proof Jesus was physically resurrected. It's just a symbolic story.
You know, I fear you're following a false prophet, and I hope you will study the Bible more closely. Your religion isn't Christian, but I'll pray for you.
Well, fine. You do that. I'll pray for you, too. Now, what were some of the mistakes? What are some of the things that you observe here? We've got a hand here.
I don't think the Baha'i was very in tune to Christian belief.
To say the least, the Baha'i was not in tune with Christian belief, with just wholesale denying everything. Oh, this isn't right. You're wrong. You've interpreted. Your holy book has been corrupted. You just aren't up to speed here. I'm rational. I'm sensible. I've got the religion of God's version, the latest version, something or other. Okay? Comment.
The Baha'i used the term manifestation, oh. So he's using Baha'i jargon.
Yeah. Baha'i, this myth, Baha'i jargon is universally understood. Manifestation, new world order. That means one thing to Baha'is, but boy, it means something entirely different to most of the Christian community. Right? Okay, so this was, but do you recognize these kinds of answers? Mm-hmm. Oh boy. And the way I got to this, of course, is I just sat back at a few firesides and I tried to observe what was going on. And all of these are right out of true to life. This whole class is out of true to life teaching experiences. These answers are lifted right from Baha'i firesides. And we have a comment here. Oh, comment here first.
The Baha'i was not in tune with what Baha'u'llah and Abdul Baha say about the Bible and Christian belief.
Do you want to give the rest of the class? No.
This is, no, I'm still learning.
That's the summary point. That is the summary point. What we are doing and calling teaching is primarily dispensing information. We are not preparing in the way the writings say that we should prepare. We don't base our teaching in the Word of God. That's the summary point. Okay. Please, comment here.
Not only was there no communication as far as the language goes and the meanings of words, there's no attempt to get to a deeper meaning of feeling and emotion and to touch the heart of the person.
That's exactly it. No, there was no touching of any hearts going on here. This person, the Christian, is, my terminology, is inoculated against the Baha'i faith. Yeah. They are sure that the Baha'i faith is not Christian. And the Baha'i seem to agree to that. Yeah. My goodness. My goodness. And 9 out of 10 of our seekers are Christian. We're waiting for people who have rejected Christianity already, and we try to teach the Baha'i faith to those. That's a little exaggeration, but it's basically, in large part, true. Okay.
I just want to add the thought that Baha'i teaching should promote unity, not discord. And when you arrive at a moment of unity and feel unified and together and spiritually united with people, I think you're on the pathway toward teaching.
Exactly. The spiritual preparation is the most important preparation because it brings about the right spirit. Okay. Now, David and I'll redo this for you. And we're going to go ahead and this time let's see how you think of the Baha'i doing, what job the Baha'i's done here. So, okay.
So how do you Baha'is regard Jesus Christ?
Baha'is believe in the sonship and divinity of the Lord Jesus the Christ. Baha'u'llah says he is the Lord of the visible and invisible. He's the Lord of all being. You have this dialogue in your handbook. It's in the last couple of pages of your handbook. So don't take notes. It's there in your handbook. With the references for each of these quotes.
Well, do you Baha'is accept the Bible as the Word of God?
Baha'is fully recognize the divine inspiration of the gospel and understand it to be the Bible of salvation.
Well, how do you know you're not following a false prophet from the devil?
The Bible tells us that there is no truth in him, the devil, John 8, verse 44, and all Baha'is believe in the sonship and divinity of Jesus, so Baha'is can't be following the devil.
Whoa. Okay, well, the Bible warns us against false prophets and the Antichrist coming in sheep's clothing. You know, the Bible also says that Jesus Christ is the only way and the only begotten Son of God.
The Bible tells us that false prophets will deny the Master, 2 Peter. And that the Antichrist denies that Jesus is the Christ, 1 John. So Baha'u'llah can't be the Antichrist or a false prophet. Baha'is accept that Jesus is the only way. But we believe Baha'u'llah is the return of Christ with a new name that glorifies the Father and the Son, as Christ promised he would do.
Well, the Bible warns us that many will come in the last days and even try to deceive the very elect. Jesus was resurrected Lord and Savior and was God in the flesh. So where's Baha'u'llah buried?
Let's turn to the Bible and apply the tests of Scripture to the claims of Baha'u'llah. For the Bible tells us to test the spirits, 1 John, and gives us the proofs to recognize the return and warns us to be ever watchful, for he shall come as a thief in the night with a new name at an hour you do not expect. The proofs of Baha'u'llah are in the Bible, and I would like you to see for yourself what the Bible has to say. To be physically resurrected is not one of the proofs the Bible says the return of Christ would do to establish his truth as the fulfillment of Scripture. What do you understand from the Bible to be the proofs of the return of Christ? Now, thank you.
I'd like to know more.
Okay. All right. So, of course, you know, this was scripted, but you get the general sense here. What was going on? This Baha'i was referring constantly to the Word of God, was agreeing with the Christian as the first step, and then constantly referring to the Bible for the proofs of who Baha'u'llah might be, and to disprove that Baha'u'llah was not, to disprove that Baha'u'llah, the concern that Baha'u'llah was a false prophet, antichrist, and so forth. Okay, so referring to the Word of God, an exploration of the Word of God, teaching as an exploration of the Word of God. That's the way the Agon is written. Okay, now, let's look at some unhelpful attitudes. These aren't in your notes, but I'm just going to take you through. Now, I got these by talking with friends, Baha'is. I got a long list, actually. This is narrowed down. Talking with Baha'is about what unhelpful attitudes seem to sometimes creep into our teaching work. Air of superiority. I know and you don't. I have the latest version of the Word of God, version 111 or something, or 19, whatever, nine prophets. Okay, but that's how we come off. Your book is a holy book for a past age. I've got the latest. I'm up to date. I know and you don't. Is that, when we were just reading, is that the tone of how we should speak? How did Abdu'l-Bahá say? Utmost kindliness, lowliness, and humility, for such speech exerteth influence and educated souls. Right? Okay. I used to think that way. Before I was a Baha'i, I used to think that way. Again, what does that communicate? Air of superiority. Arrogance. Arrogance. Is it hard to listen to somebody that you think's arrogant? Wow. Wow. Okay. The Bible is a bunch of edited mythology and fabricated history. Now, where does that come from? A lot of this Baha'i community, again, I'm going to make an extreme statement here. Broad brush, generalization, much exception to it. But much of the Baha'i community has come from liberal, Protestant, Christian background. Who do we try to teach? People who've rejected Christianity, who have some worry about the authenticity of the Bible and so forth and so on. And so that air has infiltrated our Baha'i community. We look at the Bible as less than the Word of God. We do. We do. And that's how we teach, unfortunately. Is that in our writings? It isn't in there. It just isn't in there. Okay. I can be offended. Beware, beware, lest ye offend. But be more aware lest ye be offended. There's nothing more incendiary in a teaching experience than to be offended, for the Baha'i to be offended. You kill any possibility of any of this soul knowing their Lord if you take offense. Is it in our writings? No. We've just read all of those quotes. Consort with all men in a spirit of kindliness and lowliness. Okay. He who speaks first, longest, and loudest wins. I mean, when you put it down on paper and it looks funny, but our culture is to interrupt each other and to make the point first. And, you know, there's one speaker at a fireside, nine Baha'is, and the Baha'is are climbing all over themselves to get a word in first. It sounds funny, you know, when we put it on paper, but when you look at it in practice, it's not funny. It's a little bit sad. Okay? Baha'i jargon is universally understood. Manifestation, administrative order, new world order, so on. Okay? This person needs to know as many things about the faith as I can tell them before I or they have to leave. You know, they ask for a cup of water and we give them a fire hose. Okay? I must correct every misstatement about Christian beliefs or Baha'i beliefs as soon as I hear it. I mean, it sounds funny. Who would say, oh, yeah, that sounds like a good thing to do? But at Baha'i firesides, how do we act? As sometimes. When there's a misstatement made by the speaker, to leap in and correct it, that kills the spirit. What's the most important thing being done at that fireside? It's creating the spirit, is it not? Isn't that what we've just been reading? The first preparation is creating the spirit. And what does going around correcting each other do? I mean, we all know that. We all experience that. So maybe it's not so darned important to correct every misstatement that is possibly made. It can be any time that can be corrected. But it's the spirit of the thing that's most important, right? Okay. I must be able to answer every question or I lose. I mean, it sounds funny when you put it down on paper. Nobody would say, oh, yeah, I think that's a good way to conduct Baha'i teaching. But what do we kind of do? We kind of just wing it sometimes at fireside. A very wonderful answer, a wonderful answer is to say, I don't know. Let's turn to the Word of God. That demonstration of your faith, that you can turn to the Word of God for any answer, speaks more powerfully than the content of any answer you might come up with. Your willingness to refer to the Bible, your willingness to refer to the Baha'i writings, that's a wonderful demonstration of the serenity, the sincerity, the quality of your faith. Right? Okay. Now, let's go back, if we would, and we've just developed goal number one on our goals for the class. That was number one. David, do you want to go to, we're back on page 7 now, and we're going to talk about the rest of the goals for this class. Number 2.
Appreciate how the Kitab-i Iqan, this book of unsurpassed preeminence among the writings of the author of the Baha'i Revelation, unlocks the scriptures for all Christians, which is in fulfillment of prophecy of both the Old and New Testaments, and is Baha'u'llah's own explanation of his proofs.
Again, if you get anything out of this class at all, it's not because you've heard a good presentation. Hopefully it's a decent presentation. It's what I've got of the Kitab-i Iqan, and I'm telling you that you can do better, because you will relate it to your own life. You will make it your own. You will incorporate things you didn't hear today because they're relevant to you, and I just didn't appreciate that it was in the Iqan. Guardian says, you can think of it, the way I think of it is this way. The Aqdas is our book of deeds. The Iqan, the Kitab-i Iqan, is our book of faith. This document is the foundation of the world's peace. It is that was promised in all the books of God. It unlocks the scriptures. It will provide for the religious unity of this world and therefore an enduring peace. Should we not teach from such as Baha'u'llah himself has modeled? Okay, so that's what the whole class is. That's what the whole sense of it is. Go ahead, David. Number 3.
To help you gain confidence and skills for presenting Baha'u'llah to Christians in a way they can understand and are likely to accept, using the Bible as our shared holy book and arbiter of truth. Number 4.
Well, before we go on, I just want to say here, I'm emphasizing, this is a big swallow for many Baha'is, and I appreciate it at this point in the class, that it may not just fit just so well just yet. To refer to the Bible as our shared holy book. Because of the culture that we're in, because of the climate of the Baha'i community, we don't all look at the Bible as maybe the Word of God as Baha'u'llah says we should look at it. Okay? But as we progress, I'm going to say to you, unless you have confidence that the Bible is the Word of God and you are willing to refer to it, you are not going to get a hearing. In most cases, you are not going to get a hearing. If you distrust the Bible yourself, how are you going to remove the barriers from someone who looks at it as the Word of God? This attitude, this orientation is going to creep into your teaching work. And it is going to profoundly weaken your effectiveness. That's a big statement, but let's see if I can convince you as we move through this class, all right? Now, we're coming to a break here, so let's, at this point, come to our break.